Today's Old Testament reading comes from Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7 to 9. Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, "Who is the Lord?" Or I may become poor and steal, and so dishonor the name of my God. Today's New Testament reading comes from John chapter 6, verses 25 to 35 and 49 to 51. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly you're looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." This is the word of the Lord.
When I was 15 years old, I lived down the road from a frozen yogurt shop. Does everyone know what frozen yogurt is? Or anyone know what it is? It kind of looks like that. Or Froyo, you can call it Froyo, that sounds cool. So imagine ice cream, right? It looks like ice cream. Imagine ice cream, except it tastes much worse, and it pretends to be healthy, but it's basically the same thing, it just tastes bad. I think that's the most honest way to describe it. Sorry, Pepin. That's the most honest way to describe it, though. Okay, so this, I'm sorry if anyone owns a frozen yogurt shop. I don't want to offend anyone. So this frozen yogurt shop had that was open to anyone. It was a running challenge. They would give you a huge metal bowl, and you had to fill it with 1 kilogram of frozen yogurt, whatever flavors you wanted to. There was little dispensers that you could do yourself. And then once you had filled it and weighed it, you had 10 minutes to eat all of it. If you ate it all within the time, it was free. And you got your picture and your name up on the wall, right? All the glory, totally worth it. If you failed, well, you just had to pay for it and you felt shame, right? And actually it was kind of expensive because it was an entire kilo of frozen yogurt, so quite expensive. Young lads that we were, of course, had the idea to try the challenge. We couldn't resist. So we showed up, we got our bowls, we filled them. I think I got about 10 different flavors. It actually tasted terrible, all mixed up in there. We got our Froyo, they started the timer, and we started eating. Now, my friend Alex was amazing. He was flying, right? To him, this was like nothing. But for me, I started to get brain freeze on like the fifth spoon. So you can probably guess where this is going. Alex, he finished in just under 7 minutes, I think. He actually broke the speed record for the shop. So he was celebrating. They were all excited. He got his Froyo for free. He got his name and his picture up at the top of the wall, right? So cool. But for me, it's kind of the opposite experience. It was a slog. I was sick. At some point, it all melted and was kind of like a liquid soup that I was just drinking out of the bowl. It's terrible. When I was halfway there, I wanted to give up. I felt so sick, but the others cheered me on to finish. And I think it took about 20 minutes or so, around there. So hanging my head in shame, right? I approached the cache trying to hold it in, right? You know what I mean. I actually haven't had frozen yogurt since then. Surprising, right? Wonder why. Well, this will be relevant, I promise. We'll come back to Froyo later. Today, we are going to finish our short What's for Dinner series, which is looking at the theological and practical significance of some foods that are mentioned in the Bible. And just to be clear, Froyo is not mentioned in the Bible. That wasn't invented several thousand years ago. Last week, we discussed the Corinthian church's conundrum about whether they could eat meat that had been sacrificed to idols. Paul's conclusion to this discussion was that whether it's talking about meat or really anything else, we should have a mindset of self-sacrificial love, ready to do whatever it takes to build up and make Christ clearer to those around us. Today, we are going to be talking about bread and our daily bread. Jesus, in our passage, is going to make the claim that he is the bread of life. We're going to look at what that exactly means and what its significance is for us today. This claim is going to bring us through the books of Exodus, through Proverbs. We're going to look at the Lord's Prayer, and then we'll delve into Jesus' words in the Gospel of John. So let's pray as we get started. Lord, we thank you for your words to us in the Bible. We thank you for speaking to us today. We ask that you help us to understand your words and help us to live them out. In Jesus' name, amen. So we'll begin today in the Old Testament by reading from Proverbs chapter 30, which are the Holy Spirit-inspired sayings of a man named Augur. So feel free to follow along in your Bibles or bulletin. He says in verse 7 through 9, or up here, obviously. He says in verses 7 to 9, "Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God." This proverb always surprises me. When I read his first words, "Two things I ask of you, Lord, do not refuse me before I die," I automatically assume Augur is going to ask something selfish, right? I think that's what I would probably do, right? "Just two things I ask of you, Lord, don't deny me. Health and wealth, success and power, a huge family and a yacht," right? "I'm not asking for much, God, that's all I need." But no. Augur, he first asks that God keeps falsehood and lies from him. And then he asks God for exactly what he needs. Exactly what he needs. "Give me only my daily bread," right? He says, no riches and no poverty. "I know myself. If you give me too much, I might reject you. I'm weak. And if you give me too little, I might fall into sin." Basically, Augur is saying, God, please give me exactly what I need in order that I may follow you faithfully all the days of my life. Give me my daily bread that I may follow you. Interesting. Now, fast forward to the New Testament, and Jesus also speaks of this idea of daily bread, exactly what we need when he teaches his disciples and us how to pray. The prayer many of us know, right? So Matthew 6, verse 9 through 11. "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread." So like Augur in Proverbs, we too are to ask God for our daily bread, to ask God for exactly what we need, that we may have a life of following him. Jesus' prayer doesn't say, give us today our daily feast, or give us today our daily fast. He says, give us today our daily bread, what we truly need. And so the question, the clear question we need to ask then is this: what is our daily bread? What do we humans truly need? What do we need above all else? Well, to answer this, we are going to look at our main passage in John chapter 6. This passage takes place right after the feeding with bread and fish of the 5,000. That night, Jesus crosses the lake to Capernaum. That's when he walks on water. And that same crowd that Jesus fed the day before is going to go over to Capernaum as well to try and find Jesus and to talk to him. So we'll read from John 6, 25 to 31, and I'm going to intersperse some commentary into it as we go. So, verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." So Jesus knows the heart of the people, of the crowd, and tells them, "You're not following me because of who I am. You're not because you think I'm the Messiah or some great teacher or prophet," even though it says the day before some of them had claimed this. Jesus says, "You're actually following me literally because yesterday I gave you free food." I think some of us can understand that, right? Especially the university students. Free food, it's a big deal. It's great. Even more so back then than today. Free food. But then Jesus goes on and he says, "Normal food that spoils, like I gave you yesterday, don't work for that. There's something else more important. There's special food that doesn't spoil, that endures forever to eternal life. Work for this special food. This food is given to you by the one chosen by God." So it goes on. Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the work God requires?" Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they're asking Jesus, what is this work then? How do we get this food? How do we get it? And basically Jesus is saying, the work to get the food is to believe in me. I'm the one sent by God. So then they ask him, "What sign then will you give us that they may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our entrusted, believed, followed Moses because he provided them with manna." The manna was a sign that Moses was from God. What about you, Jesus? How can we trust you? How do we know you're from God, right? You have a sign? Give us a sign. You got something as good as the manna? Show it to us. Prove it, right? So let's take a quick sidebar and spend a moment reflecting on the manna in the wilderness. After the Jewish people left Egypt in the Exodus, they wandered the desert, and there was pretty much no food. So the people grumbled against Moses and Aaron, who were leading them. Let's read Exodus 16, 4 and 5. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days.'" So here we see a very clear picture of daily bread. Because of their hunger, God provided manna, bread for heaven, for the people. Daily bread, exactly as much as they needed. They were to go out each day and gather the exact amount needed for their family. No more and no less. If they took extra, more than they needed, it says that by the next morning, it would have completely rotted. There would have been worms in it. It would have been wasting away. Unless the next day was the Sabbath, and then they could take 2 days worth of manna. So the people in the wilderness in the Exodus were to depend on God for their daily bread. He provided exactly what they needed each and every day. So back to John. We're going to continue reading. Again, so they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who is giving you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they had asked Jesus for a sign, right? They said, "Prove it." And he doesn't. He doesn't give them a sign. He doesn't prove it. Their ancestors, they trusted Moses because of the sign of the manna. But Jesus seems to say that Moses didn't give them the manna. Moses didn't provide the daily bread, the bread from heaven. It's my Father. It's God who gives true bread from heaven. And this bread from God, gives life to the entire world. So it seems like Jesus is hinting that there's something more going on in the story of the manna, in the story of the bread in the wilderness. That story was maybe pointing to something greater, was maybe pointing to something he calls the true bread from heaven, a bread that God provides for the entire world. They respond to Jesus and say, "Sir, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Now, this throws the crowd into confusion. What is Jesus talking about? He came from heaven? How? We know his parents. We know the town he grew up in. And how can he be bread, right? That makes no sense. They talk some more. "He comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." So God providing the manna in the wilderness was a foreshadow. The bread, the daily bread of the manna, was a shadow pointing to the true bread, and I think we can say the true daily bread of Christ. Christ, the ultimate fulfillment of the manna, of the daily bread. The daily bread of the manna was a gift that came from God. That was exactly what the people needed to survive, the exact amount. And the people lived off of this for 40 years, a long time. But this gift was still limited. Those that ate the manna, they still died in the end. They still perished. And it was only given to this very specific group of people fleeing Egypt. The true bread from heaven, the bread of life, our true daily bread, is also a gift from God. And it gets a bit complicated, but this gift is much, much, much more than just manna. This gift is God himself, the person of the Trinity, the Son. And he, in an ultimate, realer, spiritual sense, he is exactly what we need to survive. He is exactly the daily bread we need. Less than Christ is actually not enough, and more than Christ isn't really possible. God has given us of his very self. He is what we need. And lastly, the daily bread of Christ is not limited like the manna, right? The bread is not just offered for 40 years to a specific set of people. This bread is given unto eternal life. Those who eat of it will live forever with God, and it's offered to the whole world, to whoever would come to Jesus. Now, I want to read verse 51 once more. Jesus says, "This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Jesus is the bread of life, what we truly and so desperately need, because through him alone is life. Without Christ, we are truly dead, dead in our sins, alienated from God, enemies of God. But through his flesh, which Christ gives, his life he gives up for us on the cross, he brings us life. Through his death and resurrection, he offers us forgiveness of sins, right relationship with God, and an invitation into the family of God. And again, this is offered to the whole world, all people in all times, in all places, whoever would do the work that God requires of them. As Jesus said in verse 29, the work of God is this: to believe in the one he has sent. To receive this special bread that endures forever, we need to believe and have faith in Christ. So if you haven't been paying attention in the last 10 minutes, if you're daydreaming, it's okay, it's all good. The simple answer, the too long didn't read answer to the question we asked at the beginning: what is our true daily bread? What do we truly need? What do we need above all else? The answer is Christ. Christ himself. He is the fulfillment of the manna. He is the true daily bread. Now, let's think back to what we read at the beginning, Proverbs chapter 30, and the Lord's Prayer that Jesus teaches us to pray. When we pray to God, of course, we ask him for our physical basic necessities, our daily bread in a practical sense. We ask God for food and water, a home for shelter, a bed to sleep in, healthy bodies, and a healthy family. I believe God wants us to ask for these things, and God wants to give us these good things. The reality is, all of us, however wealthy or poor, privileged or challenged, all of us are fully reliant on God for these basic things. He's the provider of all good things in our lives, whether we choose to acknowledge that or not. But on a deeper level, when we ask for our daily bread, let's remember what we truly need. Let's remember that ultimately, our daily bread is a person. When we ask for daily bread, let's ask for Christ himself. Let's ask that God would fill our lives with himself, that he would fill us with the Holy Spirit, that he would be with us, whatever the circumstances. Let's ask that Christ be our Lord, the goal of our lives today and always, that nothing would change or hinder that, that we're faithful to him all the days of our lives. Just like Augur in the Proverbs, right? He asked for neither poverty nor wealth. He asked that nothing would distract him from God. The reality is, there will come a time when all of our earthly needs are gone. There will come a time when these needs will no longer be met. For many people all around the world, people lose these needs during the course of their lives, right? Many people lose their food, the water they need, the homes, the families, their health. Millions of people today, this is happening to them. For others, we may live our whole lives with these needs met, but whatever happens in the end, we're gonna die. We're all gonna die. In the end, these earthly needs will all pass away. And the only need, the all-surpassing, the true need that will remain is the bread from heaven, the daily bread that endures to eternal life, Christ himself. So as we wrap up, I want to ask a simple, practical question to ask ourselves. Is Christ himself enough for us? Is Christ himself enough for us? Now, Christ is objectively enough, exactly what we need. But is Christ enough for us? Is he enough for you? As we saw at the beginning of the John narrative, the crowd didn't follow Jesus because they wanted Jesus himself. They followed Jesus because they got something from him. They got food from him, and they were back for more, right? Christ wasn't enough for them. They really didn't care that much about him. They wanted to get more food from him. Is Christ enough for us? Are we really seeking Christ, or are we seeking what we can get from Christ? Now, I'm going to give some hypotheticals. Are you following Christ because you want him to give you a miracle? Or are you following Christ because you want him to give you a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a spouse? For some of us, that is a miracle, right? Like people like me. Are you following Christ because you think he's going to give you a job? Or you think he's going to heal you or a family member? Are you following Christ because you want him to give you wealth? You want him to give you blessings because you think he's going to make your life easy? Are you following Christ because you want him to give you the next ecstatic emotional experience, the next emotional high from a worship session or a prayer session, or you think he's going to lead you to some new personal psychological breakthroughs? Are we following Christ for Christ himself? Are we seeking Christ himself? Or are we, like the crowds, really seeking these other things, really selfishly seeking what we can get for ourselves from Christ to make our lives better, trying to use Christ for our own personal gain? Well, the reality is, what we need is Christ. Christ plus zero, Christ plus nothing. When we ultimately seek not Christ, but these other things, what we think we can get from him, well, even if we get them, they're going to leave us dissatisfied. They're going to leave us dissatisfied because they aren't what we truly need, now or eternally. They'll leave us wanting, they'll leave us empty because they are not Christ himself. When we ultimately seek not Christ, but these other things, it's kind of like gorging ourselves on froyo. My experience with froyo, right, with the challenge, was the opposite of daily bread. Me eating a kilo of froyo was something I didn't need at all, that no human could ever need, ever. I completely gorged myself and overconsumed. I had to keep eating, only for it to leave me sick and much worse off than before. When we try to fill ourselves with other things than Christ, we'll end up gorging ourselves on them. We'll have to get more and more and more of it because the moment we get it, we'll find it's actually not enough. There's never enough. It can't fill us. It isn't what we truly need. It's not our daily bread. If we live for these things, to get these things, and not Christ himself, after doing this, right, after gorging ourselves on them, we'll find that they've actually left us much worse off than before. Sick, like me, standing in the parking lot, right, trying to keep it in. If we're not getting our true daily bread, Jesus Christ himself, we're stuck in a froyo eating competition, eating from an endless bowl that cannot satisfy, trying to fill ourselves more and more and more with things that cannot fill us, that will leave us sick in the end. Christ, he is the living bread. He is our daily bread. Christ is what we truly need. Is Christ himself enough for you? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your words to us in Scripture. We thank you that you are our daily bread, exactly what we need. As we go through our days, as we go through our weeks, as we ask for you to provide for our needs, let us remember that you are our ultimate need, God, that we need you more than anything else. In Jesus' name, amen.